is Road to the Draft with Cal Toomey and Matt Edwards.
Episode 14 of Road to the Draft. Thank you so much for joining us. Cal Toomey, how are you?
Good, thanks, Nat Edwards. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Nice.
Nice of you to remember.
I did. Yep, after you posted about it.
Facebook
reminds us all about whose birthdays it is.
And
the age. So I was surprised to say that you're 24. But
I know, right? I don't look a day over 21, really.
Yeah.
But I've got good genes.
Yep.
I also saw you were very quick to run over to my desk and wish me happy birthday when you discovered that Matt Thompson, the delightful Matt Thompson, had left a plate of donuts on my desk.
Yeah, and we had a listener tweet in and say that sort of suffices as the free food of the week, which it did. They were nice donuts from Tomo.
Very, very nice indeed.
I had a couple of the cinnamon ones and a little bit of a jam one.
Yeah, it's fair to say I've had way too many donuts.
Yeah, so have
today.
A good day anyway. And good
Thank
night.
You. And now,
what
this
have you got presents wise?
Only one present so far, just a little something from the husband.
Okay, yep.
Little necklace, which is lovely. All right, let's move on. And a quick fire podcast today.
Yeah.
Lots of Twitter questions.
It's something a bit different.
It is a little bit different.
Because the last month we've had recruiters on, which has been great to have them in. We've had Matt Clark from Richmond, the Adelaide duo, Hamish Ogilvie and Justin Reid. We've had
Steve Canole
and Adrian Caruso last week. So. Yep. We thought we'd do a little bit different today. We haven't been neglecting our listeners.
I know, sorry. We still love you.
We hope you've enjoyed having the recruiters in because when they come in, we like to have them on board because no one else gets to speak to the recruiters for half an hour or 40 minutes. So we take the chance and we get it. So this time, this podcast, we're going to go through questions on Twitter that have been sent through and try and get through as many as we can in the next 25 minutes. So.
Love it. My favorite tweet, which I don't think is on here, was the one where, are you sick of getting questions about Carlton? That was my favorite. All right.
We like all questions.
We do. Aussie wants to know, Charlie Cameron's brother, will he go where? And what round?
Yep. Jared Cameron, obviously he kicked 5 goals for WA throughout the championship, so he's a small forward, very similar player to Charlie. Probably a little bit maybe even more advanced than Charlie was at the same stage of their development. But I think he's most likely to be sort of third, fourth round. He's a West Coast Next Generation Academy player, so I think he'll end up there. But he might get some interest a little bit earlier than that because we know how valuable small forwards who kick goals and can chase are.
It's from one small forward to another. And Adam wants to know who's the best pressure forward in the draft pool and the best rebounding defender. Is that Isaac Quaynor?
Yeah, I think the rebounding defender would be Isaac Quaynor. Obviously a member of Collingwood's Next Generation Academy, been really solid throughout the year. At every level he's played. He's the sort of defender who can just play on anyone as well. So I've seen him play on taller types. Last year he's playing on Noah Bolter. Cam Rayner, yep. He's sort of played on all sorts of forwards. So he's not always just defence. So he does give his man a little bit of space at times, but that's what happens when you create some rebound. Best pressure small forward. It's a tough one. I don't think there's a really huge sort of standout in terms of the tackling types, but someone who, you know, as a mature age, might have taken the eye on that front has been Shane McAdam, who's played obviously in the sample this year, having crossed from WA previously. Will go to the combine in October. So someone who might take the eye as a prospect who can come in and deliver that forward pressure and also goal kicking nous.
Great question from Deej.
Deej.
Yo, Deej. Do you think Gold Coast will try and snare both brothers
the
with
Kings.
Their first yep. pick and compensation pick? And if so, any mail on whether they would fight that? It's a good strategy.
You think so?
I think so. You take both. You take the twins and then they've got company and they're not going to get homesick and miss each other.
Yeah, I mean, we had this sort of discussion on Future Stars on Channel 9, 12:30 p.m. every Sunday.
You on that show?
On Sunday. And Brent Harvey obviously has worked with the King boys and he was all for this suggestion that you take the King brothers to help them sort of ward off any homesickness issues. I'm sort of the view that you just, at those selections, you take who you think is the best players and you have to make your club around them a lot better to make sure that they stay. You can't be picking players in the hope they stay because you never know. I mean, Adelaide took Jake Lever thinking he's going to stay forever. He wasn't. Fremantle pretty confident about Lachie Weller being fine to stay away from Gold Coast. He wasn't. He wanted to move back eventually.
And if the King brothers leave, they probably leave together.
Yeah.
So then you lose two players.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe a just as safe option in terms of homesickness retention and all that sort of stuff would be Jack Lukosius and Isaac Rankin together, two South Australians who've got to know each other really well and then might give the Gold Coast a different sort of couple of players. But look, in terms of what they need and they lose Tom Lynch, they can obviously do with some backup in defence too. The King boys do offer a lot and they will be around that mark. So it could still happen. But I don't think you should be taking players on the basis that, you know, they're brothers and they might stay together.
John has tweeted in, your thoughts, Cal, on Liam Stocker. Seems to be flying up the draft boards.
Yeah, he missed the championship. So that's why there's always a couple of these guys in there who missed the championships through whatever reasons. Last year it was Ed Richards who didn't play in the championships and then went boom. I don't think Stocker's going to finish a top 15 or 16 pick like Red
good
was.
Red.
But he missed the carnival through the broken jaw, played some good footy for Sandringham since. I think he's probably somewhere in the top 30-ish picks, but he's certainly someone to look for, particularly as Sandy goes on to play in the finals of the TAC Cup. If he could have a good final month, then he can push up.
One of your mates, Bomber Bear, who is Essendon looking at with their first round pick?
Well, at the moment it's pick 8, and they probably don't look like moving too much from that spot, depending on how they go the next few weeks. But, I mean, it might get pushed back a spot anyway through the Gold Coast compensation pick for Lynch. Pick 8, I think by that point, Bailey Smith would be gone. He'd be the perfect pick. I look at Bailey Smith.
You love him, don't you?
He's a very good player, and I think that he'd fit what they want and what they would be after really well. However, I don't think he's going to be still there. So Jai Caldwell is a player that I've sort of looked at in recent weeks and thought, well, if Essendon's there and they're looking for more midfield beef and the type of inside midfielder that could benefit the likes of Parrish and Merritt on the outside and also McGrath as the smaller types, then Jai Caldwell could be one. Jackson Hatley's another one, 190 centimetres. Maybe a pinch early for some at pick 9 or 10, but he could be around that mark. 190 centimetres, 88 kilos. That's the sort of midfielder who can go all around the ground, has played some good senior footy, so they might come into mind if they're looking for midfielders.
Just a reminder too that you can catch Cal's August edition of his Phantom Form Guide on afl.com.au right now. You mentioned Darcy Parrish before. Matt wants to know about Cassidy Parrish.
Yep.
How has his year been, and are any clubs interested this year?
Oh, he sort of struggled after the disappointment of missing out last year because he obviously got so much of the footy last year. It would have been a hard thing for him to take. So played some local footy. He's sort of been around the Werribee system as well. I don't see him getting drafted this year. That's not to say that if he develops over the next few years that he might get a chance down the track if he sort of improves and works on those elements of his game that saw him miss out last year. But I don't think it'll happen this year.
Sean wants to know, will Ben Silvani be drafted?
Good question. He's been invited to the combine. I think a few clubs were surprised that he did get invited to the combine because I know some might not have him quite on that sort of top 50 to 60 range, but there are 80 kids going to the combine. So every club has to, you know, write a list and invite a certain amount. I like him more as a tall back. I think he's shown more there. I think that suits his position more. He's a little bit taller than Jack, but I think he's most likely to be a rookie or later selection for the Blues. And I think that's probably how it'll play out. I'm not necessarily expecting a bid to come on Ben at this point, but you never know. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, he didn't play for the Chargers just to make their side after, you know, a few other commitments came up. So we haven't seen heaps of him beyond sort of school level. He got injured through the championships too for Vic Metro, which sort of was a bit annoying for him, but maybe later in the draft for Ben.
Will Soss excuse himself from those discussions, do you think?
Yeah, well, he's that's what he said, so we can only take him on his word on that front.
Still on Carlton, and Remy wants to know, should Carlton give up pick 1, assuming Walsh or Lukosius? What do you think would be fair compensation? I've heard rumours of Mitch McGovern, Adelaide's first round pick and second round pick for Blues pick 1.
Yeah, let's go through that one again.
Whew, so, that was complicated,
so
Remy.
So if they give up pick one, which they assume would be one of Walsh or Lukosius, what would be fair compensation? Would they go for Mitch McGovern, Adelaide's first pick, and second round pick for the Blues pick 1? So that's a lot to give up for pick 1. I don't think that
don't
the Crows would be giving up
that.
two
top picks.
Top picks
and a top player.
Top player. No, I don't think that would be a go. McGovern would be appealing for a few reasons, but I don't think you'd be giving up pick 1 to do that. You might give up pick 1 and then want Adelaide's first pick back, like pick 7 or 8 or 12 or whatever it is.
Yep.
But even then, I don't think you'd want to give up the opportunity to get Sam Walsh or Lukosius to your club. So, look, there's so much talk about the Crows' perceived interest in Lukosius, and that probably stems from the fact that Andrew McKay, the Carlton footy boss, came out on radio and said that they really want him, which was an interesting one. I'm not sure how he knows that, but or if he does, but that's...
Well, maybe it's just based on the fact he's a South Australian.
Potentially, yes, which I'm sure they'd love him.
Yes.
But there's a few other good South Australians at the top, too, and a few good other players as well. So, no, I don't think Carlton would be doing that one.
This next
All the Crows, to be honest. Well, actually, I think the Blues would probably do that one.
Yeah, if I was Carlton, I'd be in for that, but I'm not sure the Crows would come through. No. Bice, this next question is from Bice, and he's looking at the ladder in your Phantom form guide. You have Haitley, Rosie and Hill around Essendon's likely pick. Who would you take for the Bombers of those three, and who has the best kick?
Good question. I don't think they need Hill. I think they've got enough line-breaking speed and smaller types. So I don't think Ian is Essendon's best fit. Haitley, as I mentioned before, would be a good selection if they're after that big body midfielder, and he can do that. He probably doesn't have the same highlight reel that the other two in this conversation do have. And I'm a big Connor Rosie fan. I know he's way up and moved up in my Phantom form guide for this week and this month. Just a couple of spots. He hasn't had the best year, but kicked 3 goals and was really exciting at Sample senior level a few weeks ago, and it just does things that other people in the draft can't do. I know I always say that about him, but it's probably the best way to describe him, because he can just provide these moments that, you know, you don't see Jackson Haitley or Ian Hill doing, and that's jumping up and taking a specky and playing off half back and being a really mid-sized player who can go through the midfield as well. He's done it for a few years now, and I think that once he gets into the system, stays in one spot and learns his craft really well in that spot, that Connor Rosie will be one of the most exciting half-forwards in the competition. So I'm a big fan of Rosie. I think it would be out of Rosie and Haitley out of those guys. But, yeah, we'll wait and see.
Speaking of Jackson Haitley, it reminded me of our producer, Jack Haley,
yes,
who is back in our podcast. And I forgot to welcome him back because he's been away five or 6 weeks on a trip of a lifetime. And he's come back engaged.
Woo-hoo!
Jackie boy! He is off the market. Hearts are breaking all over Melbourne. Congratulations,
how did she,
Jack.
How did she pose the question? No, well done, mate. We're very happy for
him. We're happy for him, and we're glad he's back, because then I don't have to produce this podcast
and he's
anymore.
Got a bit of a Hawaii tan.
Oh, it looks like he's spent 3 weeks in a solarium. Anyway,
We
move on. Tash has tweeted in, when will Jordan Clark go?
Yeah, about 20 to 40, somewhere in that second round, I think, for Jordan. He looks like being the second best WA prospect, an All-Australian, obviously, from the Carnival, a halfback who can use the ball pretty well.
David wants to know, what range will Luke English be?
Another WA boy, midfielder. I think he's probably in the 40-plus range, not a relation to Tim.
Not a giraffe?
Baby.
Baby giraffe. Excellent. Jared has tweeted in, can you see Ben Cavara getting another chance at this year's draft?
Look, Ben will not die wondering, because he's just shown it all at every level he's played. I just don't think that after this many opportunities and this many chances and this many clubs have watched him for so long, I don't think he's going to have done anything different in his game this year to push him onto an AFL list. Look, I hope for his sake that the dream does come true, because
he's worked so hard
over it so long. We've been talking about him in this realm for a while, but I just can't see it happening.
Next question from Max. Thoughts on Zach Butters and his draft range?
I'm a big fan of Zach. I mean, I think that he probably got undersold throughout the championships a little bit for playing with that injury, that shoulder injury that was really bugging him, annoying him. His championships finished in that last game where he did hurt the shoulder again, and he was already booked in for surgery a few days later. So that all took care of itself. He might fall out of the top 20. It wouldn't shock me if he did, because he might be out of sight, out of mind a little bit in the second half of the season. But on talent and game impact, he certainly has a lot of that. So a small midfielder forward from Western Jets, he's able to push forward. I've watched him play a little bit across the year and really like what he does. He doesn't waste too many touches and carries the ball well. I would like to see him go in the first round. I think that's where I sort of rate him as a player, but it wouldn't shock me to see him drop a little bit further back. Not much, but maybe a little bit.
Andrew wants to know about Riley Bowman and where he'll end up.
Well, he's going to the combine, and there's only 3 sort of ruck prospects who are going to the combine: himself, Kieran Briggs, and also Bailey Williams. There's sort of question marks on all of them in terms of where they sit in terms of the future of the ruckman, because Kieran Briggs is 199 centimetres.
He's not quite tall enough.
Well, that's sort of the question, isn't it? And we had Adrian Caruso, the Giants list boss, on last week, and recruiting manager on last week, and he sort of raised that as an option you have to think about when you're looking at the next ruck generation, because are they going to be big enough and strong enough to sort of compete with the best? So there's that knock on him potentially, but he's an All-Australian. Riley Bowman and Bailey Williams both play for the Stingrays in Vic Country this year. Have also both played forward. Bowman can push around the ground as well. It's funny, when Bowman kicks, and some of his mannerisms remind me of Scott Penderbury. He's not like Scott Penderbury, but just the way he looks and kicks with his left foot and stuff like that. So he's quite agile when he's up and going.
Do you know?
He's about 199, I think, off the top of my head. But his skills are good. It just hasn't been the best year for him. So I think he gets drafted, but a little bit later.
Hashtag. Has tweeted in. Thanks, hashtag.
Is that the hashtag or spelled out hashtag?
The hashtag. No, it's spelled out. Any rumours on Bailey Scott possibly nominating North Melbourne as his number one club?
Well, no, we're waiting to hear what Bailey's going to do. I think he'll be taking his time on that front. So, obviously, Gold Coast is where he lives and where he's been a part of the academy. Obviously, North Melbourne's where his old man Robert played in a premiership.
Yep.
And he's Robert obviously also played at Geelong. So he's got three options there. Or he could just go into the open draft. But,
It'll we'll be one of see. Those three.
North would be hoping that they can get one because they've obviously missed out on Blakey this year as well. And Bailey's had a good season. I think he's somewhere in that second round as well.
This next question is from Adrian, and I would imagine that this is a commonly tweeted out question to you, Cal.
Yep.
Based on Carlton's list, do they take Walsh or Lukosius?
If you're just based on your list, I would be taking Walsh.
Yeah.
Because look
They've
at their midfield.
Got the tolls as well.
And they don't play one of them very much.
That's true.
So if they can get Harry Mackay right alongside Charlie Kerner.
And he was all right on the weekend. He took some good grabs.
No, I think there's enough there to like with Harry Mackay, for sure.
I think so.
You know, clubs always talk about sort of, development having to be done at a lower level. I think sometimes development can be done at a high level and it can benefit some players. But anyway, that's by the by. I think in terms of the Blues list, I think they need midfielders. We've seen that.
How nice would Walsh look next to Patrick Cripps?
He would. And he's not going to be able to help out in the competitive stuff and the contested stuff for a while because he's quite light.
Yep.
But in terms of his ball use, his running power, he's just smarts. And look, he had 33 again on the weekend. He had 33 the weekend before. This is for the Falcons. He just does it every week. So
he's just that class.
He's carried
too.
The Falcons all year.
Yeah.
He's carried Vic Country all year. He couldn't have done any more. He's captained both sides. He's captained the AFL Academy. He won the Ben Mitchell medal. He won the MVP for Vic Country. He won the Lark medal. He'll probably win the Morrish medal in the TRC Cup. It's a fair CV. So he's a very special player, and I'd be taking him. Not to say Lukosius hasn't done a lot as well, because he's a pretty special player too.
No, but
in terms
of
the
list,
if it's just purely on list and what you need,
they probably need a midfielder.
Yep.
Dan wants to know which.
I'm sort of more to the theory now that you build from the midfield out.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. That's just me, but.
Well, I know in your Phantom Form Guide at the moment that Walsh is above Lukosius.
He is.
And I know it's very hard to split the two. Dan wants to know which mature ages State League players do you think are a chance of getting picked up? And I like this. I love the mature age.
Yeah, player. I mean, because there's been successes this year, hasn't there? Bailey Fritch.
Tim Kelly,
Liam Ryan.
Yep.
Willie Rioli from a couple of years now, done his stuff. So he's been exciting. Look, I think there's three main ones. Now your favourite?
Yeah.
Jack, you missed some big news, Rioli. I don't know if you've caught up with it as a Hawthorn supporter, but Sirioli's retired.
No, he knew on the day he cried.
Shane McAdam, who else? Was he the only one to cry?
As far as I know, yeah.
Okay. Shane McAdam, as we mentioned before, is a mature rager who's a chance. The two in Victoria who are leading the way are Josh Corbett, and also no relation to Ronnie Corbett, I don't think.
thanks for clearing that up.
And Sam Collins, the former Freo backman, who's sort of come back to VFL level and dominated there across the year. So key back there, Corbett's a 190 centimetre or so, powerful forward. Nick Hines, another one from Essendon's VFL who could be a shot. So there's a few names.
Jesse has tweeted in, when's the cutoff for announcing whether or not we will get live trading on draft night and would we see an extended trade period? This is a great question, Jesse.
It's a great question.
Because we all want to know.
Yeah. Well, clubs don't know yet about live trading. In terms of extended trade period, I think it's more likely to go back the other way, to be a shortened trade period. I think the most likely outcome for that is October 15 to 22, Monday to Monday. So it'll be 8 days of trading.
And maybe something different on the last day of trade you wrote about.
Yeah, we wrote about that last week or so. And we wrote about the shortened trade period ages ago. It's something that's been in the works for a long time now. But as we said last week, the AFL is certainly considering moving the finish of trade period into prime time. I don't know how you'd feel about that working on it. I think you're going to be away anyway, so you don't care.
I'm going to be in Germany, so I don't really care. Do what you want.
Oktoberfest.
Do what you want, Gil.
But it'll be fun. It'd be interesting that whole last day if, you know, usually the deadline's been 2 p.m. If they pushed it back to 6, make a lot more work for us late at night.
It would, but
in terms of the spectacle of it all. And
the drama and the theatre.
Coming home from work, the interest levels would be extreme. Everyone on the train and watching. So
you're streaming it live on afl.com.au.
Yep. So that's the thing. In terms of the live trading on draft night, the deadline on that, well, we'd hope to get an answer on all of this pretty soon, I'd imagine.
Chaos has tweeted in. Whoa, which draftees would suit the Dons in terms of the forward line?
Yeah, we mentioned about Connor Rosie before, and I think he's someone who's in that mix. I mean, I don't think any of the tall forwards are going to be there at their selection, and whether they go for them anyway, they've probably got enough in that sort of bracket now. And they've done pretty well in the second half of the year. Credit to the Bombers in doing it and getting back in the finals race without Joe Danaher.
Yes.
Who's Joey arguably Danaher. Their best player, Joey. Yeah. So, look, Rosie's an option for them. But they almost took a little bit like Jordan Houlihan has some Rosie traits last year. He's probably not quite as talented, but he can jump at the footy and those sorts of things.
Adrian wants to know, who are the under-18s who weren't invited to the Combine who are the biggest chances to get drafted?
A couple that came to mind for this one. Alistair Richards is one from Sandy, and also St. Kevin's, watched him play a fair bit this year. Look, he's an outside player of half-back, but he's got genuine speed, and you need a trick when you're playing your footy, and he's certainly got that with his run and carry. Okay. So I think he's someone to look for there. Sam Fletcher's an inside midfielder. I guess the knock on him has probably been his disposal by foot, but he's a big inside player. And if you can work out ways to get around that, great character, great kid. So I think there's some clubs who'd be interested in Sam potentially later on in the draft or as a rookie because of that ability to find the footy.
Our next question is from Fatty 812. Thanks for tweeting in, Fatty. Fatty 812.
PH? PH Fatty?
No, it's an F Fatty. Fatty wants to know, will there be any star tall forwards left by the Dockers' first pick, and where do the Dockers borrow second and third rounders in this super draft? Great question, Fatty 812.
Well, their first pick's at pick 6, so you can't see Jack Lukosius being available at that point. No. And then after that, the King boys are the main ones.
Yes.
So there's a chance one of those gets through to pick 6.
Don't separate the twins.
No, we can't do that.
Well, Harry and Ben are separated.
Well, I think they were more than happy to be separated, those two.
Also, maybe Max and Ben would be happy.
No, well, I think they're different. You know, every set of twins are different. In terms
do
of
they
relationship.
Still dress the same?
No, we had him in the show a couple of weeks ago.
I did see that.
And they had different jeans
which
on.
Which show was that?
Which made it very easy to tell apart which one was each, because they are very, very similar looking.
I can't tell.
No. But look, there's a chance that Dockers would take one of those guys if they're available at pick 6, I'd imagine. In terms of who they can borrow some second and third rounders off, well, Brad Loyne and David Walls and the team at the Freo list committee, this management committee, they'll have to be creative and get some ideas happening, because obviously there's a bit of a dearth of selections for the Dockers this year.
There you go, Fatty. Hope that answers your question. Jay wants to know, what makes Walsh a superior prospect to Smith?
Well, he's got more of the ball this year for a start. He's probably been a little bit more consistent than Walsh. There's also maybe some recruiters who think that Smith at this stage is a better halfback than he is certain certified midfielder.
Yep.
Whereas I think Walsh is clearly, you know, inside outside midfielder. Look, it's not too far apart though, because what Smith does well and what he has ahead of him is probably more that power and speed. Mm. Whereas Walsh is probably just as strong an endurance runner as Smith, but has had to deal with that real attention across all year. Uses the ball well. Look, it's a pretty even contest, I must say, and Bailey Smith's numbers across the year have been really, really impressive. So I don't think you'd be disappointed if you ended up with either of those guys. And as Adrian Caruso said last week on the show, that Bailey Smith would have to be sort of in that number one conversation just by what he's produced.
John has tweeted in, if Carlton was to trade their 2019 first pick, let's say, North Melbourne, for a first round pick in this draft, would you rather pick one in 2019 or pick 7 in this year's draft?
No, pick one next year. Yep.
Yep.
You always take pick one if you get it.
Yeah, God, yeah.
You get the choice of everyone. It's your choice.
Exactly. All right, Tris wants to know, anything on the Hickmott brothers, Cal?
Oh, Will, obviously, we saw through the championships for WA, so the Blues will be taking an eye on those guys. The Blues have had a few father-son prospects on the radar for a while now, so I'm sure they'll be studying those guys. I don't think that they're going to sort of be anywhere near the top end of the draft pool, though, so there's something to look for later on.
Next one from Steve. Any chance they'll bring the draft to the Gold Coast again anytime soon? Always seem to be popular with the footy world holding it up there.
Did you write this one in?
Would love to see it come back. I reckon account? Matt Thompson did, because he loves the Gold Coast more than anyone. Yeah. And we did have a great time.
It was
the Gold Coast.
I loved the Gold Coast drafts. They were the best. But no, I don't think it'll be up
Even
there anytime
Adelaide
soon.
Adelaide was a good draft.
I think the draft is going to be at Etihad Stadium, potentially on November 22. There you go. There's a little bit of a whisper.
I'm writing that down. November 22. Good news.
Etihad Stadium, potentially out on the field.
That's a bit of a bummer, isn't it? At least we'll know where to go out.
That's what we're all thinking about. No, I guess the reality is, though, about the draft in terms of that stuff and having it in Melbourne is that the AFL should be able to get a crowd, which might make it a little bit more atmospheric than previous drafts. So that's an opportunity for them to build on, but it certainly will be a bit different.
And in particular, if it's going to go over a couple of days, then you probably need to have it somewhere.
And having it at Etihad in the middle of the ground would allow then the clubs to sit up in their corporate boxes.
How good would that be?
And then they can have their war rooms and they could dial down or whatever.
Imagine
it
like it's all pitch black and then each box lights up when they have a selection. How good would that be? Oh my God.
What about maybe we actually use the LED lights for something fun? And make him go round and round. And
oh my
it's
gosh.
Your pick.
It's like a
ring
of fire.
Yeah.
Oh, I like
have
it.
Johnny Cash playing.
Okay, let's sit down and talk with Gil next week, or probably when you get back from Bali. We'll get onto that in a second. Master wants to know, hey, Cal.
Hey.
What about Nat? What will Thomas cost the Brews after the champs seems to be dropping?
They have picked 9 at the moment, and I've got a feeling that no bid will come before that at this stage.
Interesting.
But you never know. It only takes one club to love a player and like a player, but... look, he came out of the championships with a sore thumb and some bone bruising elsewhere. So I had to deal with that. Had a couple of weeks off, returned recently down in Tassie. So, yeah, it's an interesting one, Thomas, because he didn't perform as well as he did in the Division 1 championships to show as much as he did in the Division 2 championships. So, yeah, it's an interesting one to sort of assess. I mean, we've seen that before in players, and other players have gone well at AFL level after that. Jack Bowes is sort of one that comes to mind. In his draft year, he dominated Division 2 championships, didn't go as well for the Allies. So, look, Thomas is a good player, and I still rate him really highly, but I think a big month would see him push back up, and the Roos probably wouldn't be hoping for him to go
they
so
wouldn't.
Well.
Danny wants to know, what are your thoughts on Baxter Mensch?
Yes, father-son prospect for the Cats. Gathered a fair bit of the ball at the start of the year and was probably in better form at that point for the Falcons. Obviously the son of David Mensch, formerly goal kicker for the Cats. Look, I think he's probably rookie chance at that point of the draft.
Edward wants to know thoughts on Bailey Williams as a succession plan for Cruiser at Carlton with one of Adelaide's picks if a trade happens, and what is his draft range?
Yeah, one of those picks would probably be a little bit early for Bailey Williams at this point. I see him probably drifting out a little bit. I think on talent, he has the talent to be a first rounder. I don't think he's going to go there anymore. So his season's been a little bit up and down. I like what he can produce when he's up and going, a nice kick and go forward, plays in the ruck, pretty athletic. But I think his draft range now is anywhere from 20 onwards. So probably a little bit further back for Bailey now.
Two more questions to go. Cooper wants to know.
Cooper.
Crystal ball time, Cal and Nat. Will overages Jordan Butts and Latham Vandermeer get drafted, or are they looking at state leagues?
I think Latham's a better chance at this stage, shown some good form throughout the year. And Butts, again, has been able to prove bits and pieces what he did last year too. So I think he's probably a little bit behind Vandermeer, but Vandermeer's the one to watch on that front as a 19-year-old and a good example of 19-year-olds getting a shot following the disappointment of not being picked the year previously.
Last question of the day comes from Mark. Mark says, where do you think Rankin ends up at?
Yeah, Isaac Rankin, he's look.
He's a gun.
He's a star. He's a star, and I can't wait to watch him play next year. I'm already looking forward to seeing him play.
You just want to see him play at the top level.
Because I think he's ready for that challenge, and I think his probably performances across the year has shown that he's ready for that challenge. He stepped up in the big moments in games, played well for South Australia at the Carnival. Since then, he's sort of just knocking about, and he's an example or an obvious example about why the draft age just shouldn't be changed to a year later, because if Isaac had to wait another year before playing AFL footy, I just don't know what that would do for his development at all.
Yeah.
It'd stunt it. So where he ends up, he should be a top 5 pick. I think the likes of Gold Coast, Brisbane, St Kilda should be looking really closely at him, particularly the Saints if he gets to that spot. I think he's the sort of player that would inject great enthusiasm and excitement to that team.
X factor
and skill.
They need that.
And he's a really good kick. So, and I actually just saw him on Instagram playing some guitar and singing. So, very talented young man.
Multi-talented. Yeah. I like it. Well, thank you to everyone who tweeted in. We are sorry that we've neglected you for the last couple of weeks, but we hope that we answered all of your questions. Before we let you go, Song of the Week.
Song of the Week is an older one, but it's by BDI called The Beat Goes On.
Ooh.
It was actually Liam Gallagher's sideband after Oasis split.
Of course.
But on the Gallaghers, James Gallagher appointed list manager at the Saints. The third brother.
No relation.
The third brother.
Oh, you like to think you're the third brother, don't you? Now, do you have a playlist, like a Song of the Week playlist your plane ride to Bali? Now, are you sure you're still going? Because you know there was an earthquake in Bali during the week.
Thanks, Nat. Thanks for that. Yeah, I am going.
You are going?
Well, that's the plan.
How long are you going for?
A week.
So, wait, what's happening to the podcast?
It might have
Are you deserting the podcast?
Well, I'm happy for you to see how you go without me. But
yep. Look, that's going to be a podcast of silence.
Yeah, sound of silence. Hello, darkness,
well, I do hope you have a lovely time in Bali, not really.
Yeah.
Bring us a present back. And
what do you want? An incense stick?
What else can you get in Bali? Like one of those T-shirts.
I might braid my hair. Bintang?
Bintang
singlet.
Yeah, can I get a bintang singlet?
Bintang singlet, right.
So I can be true Bogan. All right, thanks,
and a Hannah tattoo or whatever. I might get a tattoo.
Had to get a tat, what would it be of?
Ooh.
The draft is just like pick 1 to 10.
NAB AFL.
NAB AFL draft. Please ever get that.
You know that little emblem that you use?
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. We really want you to do that. You can do that on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you again soon.
See you later.